I was talking to Peggy, and she was talking about that you try to solve all the world's problems after you stay up. So the time got me off track, and then I started thinking. And then before you knew it, I started getting upset because I couldn't go to sleep, and you start counting how many hours you're going to get. And by that time, I probably got about four, so hopefully I'll get back on track tonight. But we're going to talk today about Matthew chapter 7, and we are going to read through verse 11 there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. I'm going to read this to you, and we're going to learn today what it takes, really, to get things done through the help of the Lord. This is our Lord speaking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now these are comforting words, because as mortal humans, we do need a lot of things. If you think about your life, you think about, well, I've got to go to the grocery store. Well, I've got to get my plumbing fixed. Well, all these things that we do as humans, we're very frail. And we need God in so many ways. And Jesus' promise here is that we have someone to petition, that God can give us these things. And we know that life, it can be a journey full of problems, trials. But the child of God has a helper that they can call upon. It's the Lord. And we see this in the illustration if we think about Abraham. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, we read, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." He was trusting God. And sometimes in our lives, we think, where is this leading? What good could possibly come out of this event that's happening in my life? But God will lead you. He will guide you. He will take you to that proper place if you trust in Him. It's all part of it. And I think sometimes we don't understand that. You know, in business they say the failures and all these things, you know, the setbacks, this is part of it. You've got to realize if you're going to be a business person, it's part of it. You're going to have bad days. Well, think about life in general and how that applies. We are going to have bad days. We are going to have bad events. But when we look at the majority of our days, and even on those bad days, God is giving us all the things that we need. Tom was saying in his prayer, you know, all good things come down from God. And that's James 1:17, and it's so true. Even on the days when things are bad, the sun shines down. You usually have something to eat. You have water, you have shelter, and you can get through these things by praying to the Lord. What about Jesus? In John 16, verses 32 and 33, we read, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And sometimes we have people and they think, well, I just need to get more money. If I had more money, and money helps, trust me. I believe that. I believe that money will help to make your life more comfortable. We want to have enough of that. You don't want to be not able to pay your bills. And we need to work to have that. But the truth is that nothing is going to save you except Christ. Christ has overcome this world. And no matter how much money you have, no matter how many material goods, no matter how good of health you are in, you cannot overcome this world without Christ. The world will eventually overcome you. But with Christ, that's not going to happen. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." He will see you all the way through to the end. But we do need to do our part. You know, the original language there is Greek in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. And really what this means here is to go on asking, to go on seeking, and to go on knocking, or to continue to ask, continue to seek, and continue to knock. This means persistence, doesn't it? We should continue to ask and plead to God for the things that we need. Now, He knows better than us, but we still need to keep asking. And we need to believe that God will grant these things. We also need to continue to seek. And this means action. So we need to take action on these things. So many times in life, we may see something that we want or we want to achieve, but built into this life is the fact that you must take action in order to get things done. That's just the way it is. And it's that way with God. In order to achieve salvation, you have to take action. We can't just believe our way to salvation, can we? We have to take action on that belief. We have to do the things that God asks us to do. We have to pray for repentance, even after we're a Christian, even after we go through the plan of salvation, which we're going over at the end of this lesson. We have to take action each and every day to try and do the right things, to try and grow. And even though we're sinners, which it's a given that we are going to sin, we still have to take action in order to achieve that goal. And I often notice how things reflect into the world, into man-made worldly things. If you want to achieve a goal, it doesn't matter. If you want to get strong, it doesn't matter how long you think about push-ups. You are not going to get strong. You have got to do a push-up. That's just the way it is. That's the only way you can get better at push-ups. God builds all this in so that we can see it in other parts of life and then we can apply it to the gospel. And when we apply it to the gospel, we see that we do have a responsibility to take some action in order to achieve that salvation. And finally, we need to continue to knock. This is that persistence I was talking about. We need to call upon Jesus in prayer. We need to be like Abraham. We don't know what's going on for sure, but we have faith, don't we? We have faith that if we pray that this thing will work out, that it will work out for our best. So we have asking, we have acting, and we have persevering. Ask, seek, and knock. It's very important that we do these things. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 5 through 8. Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." So the promise is fulfilled when the command is obeyed. And we need to make sure that we are persistent in doing these things. We need to persistently do what's right, and we need to persistently ask God for the things that we need in our lives. And I often talk about this. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too small. If it's worrying you, it's worrying God. He wants to help you with it. And we need to always remember that there's things in our lives that bother us that probably shouldn't. They're probably very small things. And sometimes we know that, yet still we cannot quit worrying about them. But can we really not quit worrying about them? I think we can, but we have to turn it over to God. We have to let it go. We have to focus on the things we can control and let God have the rest. You've heard that saying, do your best and let God do the rest. And I think that's so true in our lives today. If we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, we see that asking there, I'm going to read that verse one more time. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So if you ask, that's really your part. You need to ask. And it will be given. Well, that's God's part in that transaction. You need to seek. That's your part in that transaction. And then you'll find. And that's kind of a mixture, isn't it? You're seeking, God's bringing it to you and allowing you to find. He'll deliver it for you. You knock. That's your part. And then it's opened. That's God's part. And He's going to help you with that. And in Matthew 7, verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, to him who knocks, it is opened. That's interesting that everyone who asks receives. Sometimes we may not get exactly what we want. And we think, well, that prayer wasn't answered. But we need to think about that. Are we sure that that prayer wasn't answered? A lot of times, and I'm sure many of you know this, you look back in your life and you look at something that you didn't get and you can see, I was way better off not getting that. And so we need to remember that God knows better than we know. And if we got everything we wanted, sometimes we'd get twisted up like a corkscrew, wouldn't we? We'd have all kinds of stuff. We'd probably have insurance payments on Z06 Corvettes, and we'd have all kinds of stuff coming at us, wouldn't we? Some things we don't really need. They're not good for our soul. They're not good for us as Christians. And so we need to ask and leave that in the hands of God. If we look at Luke chapter 18, let's read verses 1 through 5. Luke 18, 1 through 5. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now this is to show us that persistence is so very important. And really, I think that's the message of this lesson today. Do not give up in your prayers. Do not give up on people in your life. Maybe somebody's in your life, in your family, that is not a Christian. And you think, well, it's been 45 years. This is just not going to happen. Do not give up on them. We have sick in the congregation. Do not give up. Keep praying. The Lord can help people find the right thing to help that person. And we need to remember that in all aspects of our life. Keep praying. Do not lose heart. Let's think about what we just read there. What this is saying is that if an unjust judge would help a widow who he doesn't even care about, this is not a godly man, but because she was persistent, he was going to help her. If that's the case, then surely a God who loves you, who is just, and who cares about you so much, surely we can see that of course he is going to help you. If this judge did it as a bad man, your heavenly Father is going to do it for you for sure. So do not lose heart. Have faith. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we read, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It avails much. And I would go on to say it avails more than anything else in this life. We were talking about March Madness, and oftentimes you'll hear during the games, you know, if somebody throws it from the other end of the court, he threw up a prayer. Well, the truth of the matter is, that's pretty poor use of the English language there. Because that's the most powerful thing we have. And people say, well, I'm down to my last resort. I'm just going to pray about it. You should be praying for everything. You should be praying when you get up in the morning. You should be praying throughout the day. It should just run in your mind as a constant thing. Help me with this, Lord. Help me with this, Lord. When we do that, we're going to gain so much power. Because it's the power of the master of the universe, the real one, not He-Man. The real master of the universe. So I'm telling you, pray with persistence. And understand that God is the most powerful thing we have in our lives. Now let's talk about another thing that we need to do though. When we talk about prayer, when we talk about all these things, we also need to be faithful. We need to keep God's commandments. This is very important. Because while God does have the rain come and to come down and pour upon and give us nutrients, all of us, the just and the unjust, we all benefit from God's graciousness. The truth is that in order to get your prayers answered, you need to be faithful. You need to be a Christian. Jesus, He knew this. He knew that He had to stay in that perfect state because He was going to be our perfect sacrifice. Now we're so thankful that He came down and He was able to be perfect and He was able to fulfill that. And now He became our sacrifice and we don't have to be perfect. Because if we would have had to have done that, it would have all been over. Well, there's no way any of us could have done that. But He did it for us. He came down. He died on that cross. He did not sin. And I often say, even though when they came up there, they were going to crucify Him, could have destroyed them all with a blink of an eye. We think about Marvel superheroes. They're nothing. Nothing compared to what Jesus does. Would you go see a movie where, well, Passion of the Christ maybe, but would you go see a movie where the superhero did nothing? Where the superhero allowed people to kill Him? The truth of the matter is, that's the ultimate power. The ability to withhold that power is the ultimate power. Jesus did that. I don't think any of us could have. I think we'd have struck those people down for their sin. But Jesus knew that in order for the plan to be fulfilled, in order for things to come about, He needed to die for us as an innocent person. And He did. And now we have that sacrifice. And now we can pray to God. And staying faithful is not what Jesus did. Do not think, well, I can't be perfect, so I guess I can't have my prayers answered. That's not what it's about. It's about staying in that right relationship with Christ, repenting when you sin, doing your best, doing your duty, and failing over and over, but getting back up each and every time. But in order to do that, you have to be a Christian. That's the only way you can repent. That's the only way, because you have accepted Christ as your Savior. And you've done it the way the Bible, the New Testament, tells you to do it. And then you can have that persistent prayer. You can have the power of God, the most powerful being in the universe, on your side. But we must become a Christian before we can do that. Now, is there anyone here today who doesn't feel like they're in the right relationship with Christ? There was a day, how many years ago, that I didn't feel like I was. And I went forward, and I made things right. Does anybody here today need to do that? Do you feel like things are not right with God? This is a big chance. Even if you're a Christian, You can come forward. You can make things right with God. What about if you're not a Christian because maybe you haven't followed the plan of salvation? We're about to go over it. If any of that needs to be followed, I invite you to come as well. There's no better day than today. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. I often think about that. You know, I go to sleep, I wake up, and I think, well, what if I hadn't woke up? And what if I was somewhere else? Because we are never going to disappear. We're not like the animals. We do have a spirit, and that spirit is going to go somewhere. And we need to make sure that it's the right place. And the way to do that is to take action today. We have duty, and we need to take action on that duty. So, if you do need either of those things, I implore you to take action today. But what do you have to do to be a Christian? Well, you need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You need to believe in God, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. You need to repent, Luke 13, verse 3. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men, Matthew 10:32. You need to be baptized, and many verses all over the Bible about this, but Mark 16:16 and Acts 2:38 are two good ones for you to look at. And then finally, you need to be faithful unto death, Revelation 2, verse 10. If you have any of these needs today, remember, you need that power of prayer on your side. If you have any of these needs, whether it's to make yourself right with God again or to become a Christian, I invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.